Hello and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We are looking at a study of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. We began this study last week, and so if you're just now tuning in, you're not far behind. I'm glad that you're with us today to study this great book. If you'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians, if you have the ability to open your Bible at this time, and study with us. If you missed last week or any of the previous Let the Bible Speak program lessons, you can reach those and listen to those and find those on our website, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. And if you'd like to visit us, the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ assembles at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Our number is 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. We regularly meet at 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., where we speak the truth in love. And we would be glad for you to visit with us. As I said, last week I began a study of the epistle that Paul wrote to the Ephesians. And I looked at a lot of the material in the book of Acts, looking at the various ones who would make up the church at Ephesus. And our main point there was that regardless of the background that you come from, regardless of your situation, you can become a Christian, a member of the Lord's church like they did in Ephesus. And I'm going to pick up there and again summarize that material in the book of Acts and then begin to look at what the book of Ephesians is all about. You know, the local church at Ephesus was started when Paul came to Ephesus and proclaimed the gospel there at the close of his second preaching tour from Antioch, somewhere around AD 53. And each Christian and group of Christians in a local church always got started the same way, by obeying the New Testament gospel. It is God's plan of salvation, Romans 1, verse 16. And if I can assist you in doing that same thing, to become a New Testament Christian, to hear what that gospel is, we would open our Bible together, study that, hear it, believe it, be baptized into Christ. If I can assist you in doing that, please contact me. And so that's what Paul did, and the church got started. Church being people, always in the New Testament, not a building. A church, a group of people, having obeyed the gospel. And Luke tells us that Paul had left Corinth and was on his way back home to Syria, traveling with Priscilla and Aquila, when he came to Ephesus for the first time in Acts 18 and verse 18. As was his custom, Luke tells us that he would often go into the synagogue and reason with the Jews. And a local church was soon established there from some of those Jews who were willing to leave behind Judaism and become New Testament Christians. The saints then asked Paul to stay, but he did not stay long. He journeyed on towards Syria, promising to return to Ephesus if the Lord wills, Acts 18, 20 through 23. He left Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus to build up the new church that was there. And they also helped Apollos and other brethren there to grow, Acts 18, 24 through 28. Luke tells us that after Paul had stayed in Antioch for some time, that he wanted to return and come back to this area. So after some time, Paul left Antioch once again on a third preaching tour, which lasted about 3 years, somewhere around 53 to 56 AD or 54 to 57 AD. And Paul is going to return. Luke tells us that Paul returned, and in Acts chapter 19 and verse 1, we read this last week, he comes and he finds these followers of John the Baptist. And so he comes back to Ephesus. And so if the Lord will, or if God wills, and we know that it was God's will for Paul to return, Acts 18, 21. When Paul arrived in Ephesus, he began his work with these 12 disciples of John. We talked about them last week, and they were soon converted to Christ. And then he went back to the Jewish synagogue where he had spoken before, Acts 19:8. He went to the school of Tyrannus, Acts 19, 9 and 10. He was working special miracles. We talked about this. And the text says that he stayed in Asia for a while before he left, Acts 19, 21 and 22. So during Paul's stay in Ephesus, there was a church formed. The first time, it grows more. The second time he's there, we talked about the riot there by Demetrius the silversmith. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 1, Paul left Ephesus. He exhorted the disciples, and he took leave, and he left and went to Macedonia. When he left Ephesus, Paul took with him at least one Christian from there, Trophimus. And when you read Acts chapter 20, you find that Paul followed his plan to travel. But on his way back to Jerusalem, he stopped at Miletus and spent a brief time with the elders of the church at Ephesus. And so, not long after Paul left, there were elders who were ordained there. And we read about the qualifications of elders in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. So these men were qualified. They were spiritually minded in character and in their family and other areas of their life where they can now serve as elders. And in Acts chapter 20, Paul spoke with the elders about his responsibilities to the Lord and their responsibilities as elders in the local church. We see Paul's emotion coming out in this speech in Acts 20, verses 36 through 38. Paul's meeting with these elders is the last mention of the Ephesian church in the book of Acts. Luke summarized Paul's work in Ephesus this way in Acts 19 and verse 20, "So mightily grew the word of the Lord and prevailed." Paul's three-year work at Ephesus was very successful in the Lord, even in the midst of opposition. This was the longest amount of consecutive time, most likely, that Paul spent in one area devoted to his ministry in one place. He even became friends, Luke tells us, with some of the local officials, some of the Asiarchs, Acts 19:31. While staying at Ephesus, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. And there are two references to Ephesus in 1 Corinthians that give us some insight into Paul's work at this time. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32, Paul writes that he fought with beasts at Ephesus. This statement speaks of either human opposition to preaching the gospel or literal fighting with animals, such as being thrown to the lions in an arena. Either way, Paul faced severe opposition in Ephesus. But Paul was not alone in his work there. But the opposition must have placed a great deal of pressure on him. A second reference to Ephesus is found in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9. Here Paul says, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." From this reference, we learn that Paul stayed in Ephesus because a great opportunity to preach the gospel was there, and he stayed despite great opposition. And that's a lesson for us, that when opposition is put up in our way, that doesn't mean we quit. We just use it as an opportunity to serve the Lord. We know from the book of Acts that those who opposed Paul were both Gentiles, Demetrius and the silversmith and others, and Jews. Acts 20, verse 19. For Paul, the opportunity in Ephesus was greater than the opposition. And I want us to think about that today. Opportunity is greater than opposition. And we can still do the Lord's work. We can still obey the gospel and be faithful and do the Lord's work, even in difficult times. By God's will, Acts 18, 21, and by Paul's devotion to preaching the gospel, Acts 20, 24 through 27, a local church of Christ was started at Ephesus alongside the other churches of Asia. This local congregation may have begun by meeting in the home of Priscilla and Aquila. 1 Corinthians 16:19-20. The Christians at Ephesus were called the Brethren, Acts 18:27, the Way, because they followed Jesus the Way, Acts 19:9-23, the Disciples, Acts 19:9-30, the Church, Acts 20:17-28, the Flock, Acts 20:28-29, and so various descriptions of New Testament Christians. About 5 years after Paul established the local church in Ephesus, he wrote them and called them the saints and the faithful, Ephesians 1:1. In church history, and especially in Roman Catholicism, sainthood is given to only certain individuals that have done great deeds and have died. But that doesn't match up with the scripture. To be a saint in the New Testament is any Christian, regardless of what they've done, regardless of whether they've died or not. It's not conditioned on those things. It's not conditioned on man-made criteria for doing certain great works. When each and every person is baptized into Christ, he or she is a saint. And so Roman Catholicism has missed that and has led people astray in that particular area. They are the saints. All Christians are saints. It means set apart for God's service. They're described as the faithful, those who are trustworthy in serving Christ, and we need to be that today. So Paul has much to say to the Ephesians in the book of Ephesians about the glorious church of Christ and how Christians are to act in that local church. And we hope in the weeks to come to see those great lessons. The church is glorious, Ephesians chapter 3, and we need to remember that. The word church occurs 9 times in the book of Ephesians. Ecclesia means a called out assembly or body of Christians. The word body is also used, and it occurs 9 times as well in the book. Friend, are you a member of the Lord's church? Are you a member of a local church of Christ? Are you a member of Christ's body? Do you need to hear and believe and obey the gospel and be baptized into Christ, just like these New Testament Christians did? In the 21st century, we can do the same thing that they did back then. Not only can we, but we must. And I would encourage you to do that. And so let's get together and learn how to do that so that you can be a simple New Testament Christian. Shortly after Paul wrote the epistle to the Ephesians, he and Timothy returned to Ephesus. 1 Timothy 1:3. And more details about the history of this local church may be found by reading 1 and 2 Timothy, and also Revelation chapter 2:1-7. Unfortunately, when you turn over to Revelation 2:1-7, when John writes about and tells us about the Ephesian Christians, he said that they had left their first love. Revelation 2:4. This is a constant danger that all local churches must guard against even today. And what's interesting is if you turn over to the very last thing that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, it had to do with love. In Ephesians 6:24, grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ with a love incorruptible. That's the very last thing that Paul wrote, and yet, some 30 years later, they are leaving that love. The very last thing that Paul wrote about and encouraged them to love our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the very thing that they had left. They were still meeting, they were still keeping house, but internally they had left their first love. They were doing some good things for the Lord and standing for truth and testing those who were not true. But they didn't have a genuine love for the Lord. So it's a danger that we must always guard against. So Paul writes the epistle to the Ephesians, written by Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 verse 1 and chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul is in the first person pronoun here, and throughout the book it points to Paul as the author, I, Paul. And most likely Paul wrote this book when he was in a Roman prison for 2 years, around 60 to 62 AD, or 61 to 63 AD. And you read about this at the end of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 28. Paul comes to Rome, he's put in prison there, a type of house arrest where people can come and visit him. And he writes four prison epistles. If our date of this book is correct, then Paul wrote this epistle from this Roman imprisonment about 5 years after he left Ephesus. The book of Ephesians is considered one of four prison epistles, along with Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Luke tells us about Paul's journey to Rome in Acts 25 through 28 and his Roman imprisonment in Acts 28, the latter part. And there are statements in the epistle to the Ephesians that point to a prison setting for this letter. For example, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. Verse 13, that you may not faint at my tribulations for you. Chapter 4 and verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord. And then, even more specifically, chapter 6 and verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so we find that Paul is a prisoner in chains. The epistle was written to the saints that are at Ephesus, chapter 1 and verse 1. It was delivered to them by a man named Tychicus, chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. And this letter may have been delivered at the same time that Tychicus delivered Paul's letter to the Colossians, Colossians 4, 7 through 9. And Onesimus delivered Paul's letter to Philemon, Philemon verses 10 through 12. And it is also possible that this epistle was circulated to other faithful brethren nearby. The words at Ephesus in verse 1 or in Ephesus are not found in some ancient manuscripts, which has led some scholars to believe that this epistle was not addressed to the Ephesians. However, I'm going to, in the next few weeks in this series of lessons, assume that the Ephesians were the primary recipients of the letter, although it could have been circulated to other brethren nearby. Paul did not write to the Ephesians like in other books to address a particular false doctrine or correct any specific sin or specific error. He does that in other books. He does that in the book of Romans. He does it in the book of Galatians. He does that in the book of Colossians, dealing with specific problems. But here, it's more of a general letter that is encouraging to remind the Ephesian Christians of two very important truths. And now we want to get into what we might call the overall theme of the book and how we might divide up the book. These two very important truths are this. The Ephesians, as Christians now, they have a spiritual wealth in Christ. And so in Ephesians 1 through 3, Paul is going to focus on the wealth in Christ. And in chapters 4 through 6, he's going to focus on their walk in Christ. When we become a Christian, we have spiritual blessings in Christ, forgiveness of sins, answered prayer, other things like that. But we also have a walk, a daily life that we must live. And so one leads to the other. Our spiritual wealth should lead us to a spiritual walk. Paul may have heard of the condition of the Ephesians from Epaphras and was prompted by the Holy Spirit to write to them. And he's going to focus on their wealth in Christ and their walk in Christ. Now, of course, Ephesians is a letter. It's an epistle. Like the book of Romans, Romans 16:22, or Colossians 4:16, an epistle, a letter. And we're not used to that maybe as much today. We're used to texting and emails and things like that. We're not used to formal letters that have been written on paper and sent in an envelope with a stamp in the mailbox. We're getting away from that. But try to picture that form. And the book of Ephesians, like Paul's other epistles, needs to be studied in understanding that. And if you were to open up someone's letter out of somebody else's mailbox, if you wanted to understand that letter, you would need to know something about the one writing it, the one receiving it, and some things about the letter itself. And so we know from the Holy Spirit the background to Paul, him being in prison, so that helps us to understand some of those things about Paul. We know that from Acts 28. We know some things about the Ephesians themselves from the book of Acts, Acts 18 and 19. And so we can better understand Paul's letters by understanding who wrote it and to whom it was written and the background to those things. And so when we look over the next few weeks, and I'll be reminding of this quite often, I'm sure, when we look at the book of Ephesians, we're looking at two different sections. Ephesians 1 through 3, the Christian's wealth in Christ, and Ephesians 4 through 6, the Ephesians' walk in Christ. And before we close this morning, I wanted to look at a few examples of this. So if you'll get your Bible open, look, for example, at Ephesians 1, verse 7. Let's illustrate this idea of our wealth in Christ. The word riches is used by Paul in the first half of the letter, and it emphasizes the Christian's spiritual wealth or blessings in Christ. 1:7, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 18, the riches of the glory. Chapter 2 and verse 4. Chapter 2 and verse 4, rich in mercy. Chapter 2 and verse 7, the riches of his grace. Chapter 3 and verse 8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Chapter 3, verse 16. Paul writes about the riches of his glory. And so, chapters 1 through 3, there's an emphasis on these spiritual blessings. Verse 3, every spiritual blessing. Chapter 1, verse 3, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. These references to riches. We are spiritually rich when we are a Christian. But we also have responsibilities to walk properly as a Christian. In fact, if we want to maintain the spiritual riches in our life, we have to walk right each day. So come with me now to chapter 4 and verse 1. The word walk is used by Paul in the last half of the letter to emphasize the Christian's walk or daily life in Christ. This is going to have to do with how we think and how we talk. And Paul is going to talk about marriage in this book, and he's going to talk about family, and he's going to talk about individual morality, and he's going to talk about employment and things like that. And so our daily Christian living in Christ. For example, in chapter 4 and verse 1, to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called. Verse 17, that you no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. In chapter 5 and verse 2, walk in love. In verse 8, walk as children of light. And then in verse 15, look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And so the Christian's wealth goes along with the Christian's walk. And I believe chapter 2 and verse 10 is a good summary of both of these themes of wealth and walk. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. And so Ephesians 2 and verse 10 speaks of the Christian's wealth, and the last part of the verse speaks of the Christian's walk. Other words that have been used to describe this book would be the riches in Christ, chapters 1 through 3, and the responsibilities in Christ, chapters 4 through 6, or the position that we have in Christ, Ephesians 1 through 3, and the practice of being in Christ, Ephesians 4 through 6. These are other ways that the book has been described, and I will be focusing in on the wealth and walk in Christ. And so, let me encourage you, when you're reading a book, if possible, to read the whole thing in one sitting or in a few sittings. That's harder, of course, with a larger book. For example, it'd be hard to read through the book of Isaiah in all of one sitting. But these epistles of Paul, often you can do that. And I would encourage you to do that so that you get the whole flow of thought. Just like if you were to get a letter out of the mailbox, you would probably read the whole thing instead of just reading a little bit and putting it down, and then a few days later reading a little bit again. You'd probably read the whole thing. And there's some good in that, and you can do that even with God's Word. So when you read chapter 1 and verse 1, starting now at the beginning, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, to the saints that are at Ephesus, and the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's letter to the Ephesians opens with a typical salutation. A salutation is a greeting, and it was common in Paul's day to begin a letter with a salutation that contained three elements: a description of the writer, a description of the readers, and a greeting. In Paul's salutation, the Ephesians would learn some things. And they're going to learn about Paul. They're going to learn about themselves, and they're going to receive a greeting. And so, Lord willing, we will pick up here next week, and we will start into the book of Ephesians, that grand theme of the glorious church. And I would encourage you to be a member of that glorious church. If we can help you to do that, please contact us. Thank you for being with us today on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.